Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. It's a little bit longer section of Scripture, but a powerful, powerful story. Beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, for I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Well, we've been talking now about living the life of purpose we were created to live, about following in Christ's steps. Remember, we looked at that book, In His Steps by Charles Sheldon, about living each day focused on Him while looking within ourselves for that motivation to move forward, the why of our lives directing us or should direct us so that our lives reach beyond worldly acclaim, worldly stuff, recognition, glitz and glamour, worldly achievement, and seek instead to glorify God and God alone in all we seek to do. Really, what we've been in the midst of is writing our eulogy, considering the legacy that we want to leave behind, that others in the world around us will remember and were blessed by or not. And the others I'm talking about are those whom Christ calls us to touch, to help, to impact with Him. Those others include everyone, those close and dear to us and those far from us, those we like and those we don't like, and even the outcasts and the untouchables of society by whatever label society puts on them, the hurting and the needy, the homeless, alcoholics, drug users, the mentally ill, the abused and neglected, those in prison, the poor and the hungry, those who need a lift up in life today, those enslaved around the world, subjected to unspeakable violence with no hope, no hope for the life God created them to live. All others, everyone, even someone we don't like. Jesus loved across every line that society created, lines based upon poverty and race, ethnic and religious barriers, lines that labeled certain people as untouchables or outcasts. But Jesus saw no untouchables or outcasts in His day, and He sees none today. Every person is a beloved child of God. And as followers of Christ, to live a life of impact and purpose, our mission is clear: to be like Christ and to do what He would do everywhere. Because when we do that, my friends, we touch Jesus. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger needing clothes, sick or in prison, and you cared for me." Then the righteous will ask, Lord, when did we do that? And Jesus will answer and say to them, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat, thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink, a stranger needing clothes, sick in prison, and you didn't help. And they will ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or needing clothes, sick or in prison, and did not help you? And his damning response will ring loud and clear in their ears. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Look, my friends, I'm not making this stuff up. It's right there in Christ's own words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, by Matthew, of course. In all things, always, every day, to live a life of purpose and impact, God calls us to touch a lost and hurting world and everyone in it. Years ago, Linda and I were blessed to meet and hear Tony Campolo at the National Prayer Breakfast held in Washington, D.C. on the first Thursday in February of each year. Tony is a seminary professor and evangelist, a pastor and author, and has devoted a good bit of his life, along with his son Bart, helping at-risk youth, especially in New York City. Tony shared a story about a trip that he took a few years earlier to Hawaii for a speaking engagement. And when he got there, as those of you who've traveled there can identify, his internal time clock was off. And so at 3 a.m, he found himself wide awake. And so he went for a walk on the streets of Honolulu, looking for something to eat. He found one of those places we might describe as a greasy spoon diner, and he saw some donuts up on the shelf. The owner behind the counter was a big guy who was oblivious to the filth around him and simply wiped his grimy hand across the apron on his stomach, grabbed a donut from the shelf, and handed it to Tony. Well, while Tony was eating his donut, in marched about 8 or 9 noisy prostitutes. One of them, a lady named Agnes, announced that tomorrow was her birthday, to which the others snidely remarked, so, what do you want us to do about it? Agnes replied defensively, why do you have to be so mean? I was only mentioning that it was my birthday. I didn't want you to do anything. I've never had a birthday party in my life anyway. Listening to the discussion, an idea popped into Tony's head, and he found out from the big guy behind the counter, Harry was his name, that these ladies came into that same diner every morning about the same time. Well, right then, he and Harry decided to throw Agnes a birthday party the next morning. They got crepe paper decorations and made a sign out of colored poster board that read, Happy Birthday, Agnes. Harry and his wife pitched in and made a birthday cake for Agnes. Well, the word got out, because at 3:15 the next morning, every prostitute in Honolulu seemed to be there. Wall-to-wall ladies and Tony. At 3:30 a.m. on the dot, Agnes came in escorted by a friend, and everyone screamed, Happy birthday, Agnes. Agnes was stunned. Her mouth fell wide open, and her legs buckled, while being helped to a stool right in front of her birthday cake on the counter. Everyone sang, Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Agnes. Happy birthday to you. Her eyes filled with tears as she sat there silently staring at the flames from the candles on her cake, now melting onto the icing. The big guy, Harry, finally blew out the candles for Agnes and encouraged her to cut the cake. It was then that she spoke. Look, Harry, is it all right? Is it okay if I keep the cake for a while? Is it okay if we don't cut it right away? Sure, it's okay, Harry said. Take it home if you want to. Can I? She asked. And with that, she got up off the stool, picked up the cake, carrying it in front of her as if it was something sacred, walked slowly toward the door and out. Everyone watched as she left. Silence. Total silence. Tony, not knowing what else to do, broke the silence by saying, "What do you say we pray?" Well, when he finished praying, Harry leaned over the counter with a trace of hostility in his voice and said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to anyway?" Well, the right words just seemed to come to him at that moment. And Tony said, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." That, my friends, is the church of Jesus Christ. That is the faith and the life of purpose and the life of impact Christ calls us to do and to be. A life that touches the world and everyone in it. Jesus Christ went around finding people where they were and took them where they ought to be. He even invited them to dinner at the Pharisees, the religious leaders' homes, much to their dismay. He touched and touches today the lives of lepers, prostitutes, the homeless, drug users, the underprivileged, the poor, the rich, the abused and enslaved, the illiterate, the privileged in society, the mentally ill, and people just like you and me, everyday sinners who find ourselves at times needing help, needing a lift up in life. Jesus was radical when it came to loving others. Jesus went around making somebodies out of those who society labeled as nobodies. He never missed an opportunity to express God's love for everyone he met. And he calls us, you and me, to do the same, to follow his example, to touch the world. No matter our station, our situation, our status, or our season of life, we are called to be Christ to everyone who comes before us. No matter the label society places upon them, to make a difference in their lives here and for eternity, an eternal impact on their lives. What will our eulogy sound like? What will be the legacy that we leave for today, for this month, this year, for our whole lives long? Will we be remembered for changed lives and a better world around us because we lived, or not? A life of purpose, a life of impact, a life that is not wasted on lesser things, on the things or rubbish of the world, but instead a life that changes and lifts the lives around us, all in our one time around. Just something for us to think about today and every day for the rest of our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for the reminder every day that you call us to touch the world with you, because when we do, we touch you. That no matter what society says about anybody or anything, we are to touch those lives around us that you bring before us. Help us, Lord. Bring those before us that we ordinarily wouldn't look for. Continue to do that, and then walk with us and help us and poke us and remind us that we are to lift them and love them and do for them what you would do, to be Christ to them. Help us, Lord, never to forget that, never to neglect that, and in our one time around, to write a eulogy every day with our lives that leaves an impact, an eternal impact in the lives around us every moment of every day. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege to do that with you and for you. And we know that as we go, you will go with us, reminding us, helping us, guiding and directing us and pointing us. Thanks for loving us. And thank you for your Son. And it's in his precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.